Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Today is Tuesday, August 11th. We're back with you. I'm full of energy, and I don't know why, Jen. I went to sleep at 3:30.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So, but I'm full of energy, so here we go, folks. Welcome to the show. Another overcast day. Yesterday took it no time, though, for the sun to come out.
Yeah, it ended up being a really beautiful day yesterday.
Yeah, so you probably were not as productive as you wanted to be, right? Because you didn't stay in? Or what?
No, I was pretty productive.
Yeah.
I had to be, though.
Good. Yeah. Good. So how are you doing, Jen?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Not much to say. Nothing pressing. You know, sometimes I come in, I have like things I've got to get out right away. But we do have a great guest waiting in the wings here, and we're going to get to him in a few minutes. And it's going to be a fun show. And, there was this thing that captured my attention this morning. This French couple and their kid went hiking in New Mexico in a desert, like it's a desert park, vast treeless desert park.
Okay.
They found them dead.
What?
The couple and the boy was alive. He's a 9-year-old boy, and they're saying that they died from heating. From heat, but he survived because they gave him more water than they gave themselves.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
That's crazy.
They said they didn't carry enough water, so they gave the boy more water than themselves.
Well, that was nice of them, but also, A, why go do that?
Yeah. Yeah. Why do that in the first place?
Right.
Why do people do these things?
I don't know.
And take your 9-year-old with you?
I don't know.
Yeah. So it's just a sad thing, and obviously, you know, it's a story of bravery and everything, but the boy is like left with no parents right now.
That's sad. They were what, on vacation?
Yeah, probably. They're a French couple, and also he was found by the father's body. Apparently did not know that his mother was dead already too. So yeah,
God, that is awful.
I know, it's an awful way to start the morning, so I'm going to switch gears here. It somehow touched me, that story, you know, so I had to bring it up.
It's sad.
It's very sad, Jen. You know, I mean, sometimes, you know, you think about death and stuff and you go, man, that's a one-way ticket. You know, nobody comes
I was
back.
Thinking about that last night.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about that this morning.
Actually, I had the weirdest dream last night. I'll
really?
Tell you about it. It has nothing to do with death, except that there was a ghost in my apartment.
Wow.
But then, so that's my segue, is the ghost.
Yeah.
But so, because ghosts are dead, right? Or were they ever alive? I don't know. But so, in the middle of the night, for whatever reason, the shower turned on. And I was like, well, that's weird. And this is real life. It actually happened.
This happened?
Yeah.
For real?
No, it really happened. So, I wake up. I don't know what time it was. And I go, and I turned off the shower because it was so weird that it was all of a sudden on. And it wasn't like fully on. It was like dripping, but loud enough for me to hear it. And it wasn't dripping earlier. So now all of a sudden I hear it like.
And this woke you up in the middle of the
night. It woke me up.
Wow.
I'm a light sleeper and this woke me up. So I go run to my bathroom. First of all, I turn on all my lights in my apartment because I'm like, who the hell is here taking a shower?
Wow.
This is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. So I go turn on all my lights. I scurry over to the shower, turn off the water. It goes off. And then I get back in bed and then I'm like, oh my God, wait. Are there ghosts in my apartment? Like, are there spirits here? Like, what turned on the shower? Or like, what was trying to like get my attention? And then I was thinking about the fact that I have like people that stay in my apartment and like I Airbnb my place from time to time. And I was like, wait a second. Maybe I need to sage my apartment or something, because I forget that like my energy is mine, but then there's other people coming in here with all their crap and whatever's like living on them and with them. And then I'm like getting back into my apartment the other day and like, all of a sudden, the shower goes on in the middle of the night. I'm like, Wow. I have to clean my apartment out of whatever happened to be in there.
Yeah. But what
then again, it's an old building and old plumbing. I have no idea actually what happened, but I'm going to just go with I need to sage my apartment.
But what makes you curious is why is the first thing you thought about a ghost and not a person? I mean, the first thing
it
that
wasn't.
Occurred to me...
The second thing was a ghost.
Okay. So
the
you
first
thought,
was a person, because that's why I turned on the lights.
Right. But you were brave enough to get up and turn on the lights in the dark.
Yeah. Well, I'm fortunate enough, the light is right next to my bed and the side I sleep on and by the door. So I'm like on high alert most of the time.
Okay. All right. So you would have known if there was a person right away.
Right. But also, if there was a person there, I probably would have heard them, considering I heard the shower, which is like more removed from where I physically was.
Right.
But so...
So you think maybe there's ghosts that were brought in by other people?
I honestly don't know. Uh-huh. I'm going to go with there's something in there that I need to get out. So I'm going to sage my apartment the minute I get back.
Okay.
And that's going to let me at least sleep easier.
Yeah.
But so then what happened was I went to sleep after that and I was like worried I'd never be able to fall asleep again. I finally fall asleep and I'm like dreaming of ghosts. And like I think they had like – they looked more like Casper and like kind of like a cartoon ghost than like what – I don't know what anybody that's would funny. Think of a ghost as. But so yeah. Something's got to be done.
Yeah.
Because no shower is going to wake me up ever again.
Wow. That's weird.
And if it is, if there's somebody in there trying to tell me something, like, just tell me. Like, write it out. Don't turn the shower on. Give me a clearer message. Unless they're, like, telling me that I need to shower. I was clean. I showered.
Yeah.
I don't know what the message is.
Right.
I'll get to it.
That's the thing, is that I don't... If there are ghosts, I don't think they can affect anything... like make anything happen in the physical world, because that's why the spirits, that's the difference.
I don't know. They say that they'll like give you signs and stuff.
Yeah, but you know, I don't know how, you know, I mean,
turning on your shower.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't think they have the ability to do that as a spirit, you know, because that's why we're physical beings. So we can do those things,
right?
You know? And so that's one thing. Secondly, I don't believe in ghosts at all. So that's beside the point, but
I don't think I do either. I'm more of a, like a spirit person.
Right.
Then again, I don't even know if I don't know. I don't know what I am, but we'll find out when this, you know, takes on a life of its own.
Right. No, I mean, a lot of people are saying, yeah, they, you know, they give you hints and signals and stuff. But if they could, why wouldn't they just like make something a little more obvious?
I mean, turning on my shower seemed pretty obvious.
Yeah. No, it is. But I mean, that would scare a person if they're trying to get your attention about something. You know, I don't
know, maybe it goes back to the effect of me needing to meditate, because they're like, you showered tonight, but don't forget to clean your mind.
Right.
I don't know.
Which is a perfect segue to our guest.
Exactly.
Right. So this is a perfect time to bring him in. We have a special guest that how did you connect with us? You told me that I mean, you found us on where? On Instagram?
I've actually been
or something?
Stalking you guys.
You have?
In your dreams. Turning water faucets and showers
now
on.
Now
I
see,
know.
There's your answer.
There we go.
I didn't want you to know that, but
I figured it out. So
Now you know.
Now I know. Thank you for telling me.
We have Indy Rishi Singh in the studio. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
Welcome.
Now, I mean, the name Singh is very popular, right?
Yes.
And but how is it pronounced in the native language?
Singh.
Singh?
Singh.
Really? So why is there an H in the end? I wonder when they translate it.
They try to be cool about it. You know,
I thought it's like maybe Singh or something.
Singha.
You know?
There is a beer called Singha, right?
Oh, yeah.
No, but Singh, I mean, I think because... when you translate any Indian language into English,
right.
There's like these little subtle things, you know,
right.
Like the sing. It's not just sing; it's sing with the you know,
gotcha.
A little bit of a
gotcha.
Nasal thing.
And so then they put in a letter mm-hmm. to, mm-hmm. yeah. See, I love languages. I love to learn about these things because it's so. There are such intricacies to languages,
right.
You know, and idiosyncrasies, and you know, things where just like. When people learn a language, they're like, well, why is it like this? It's not logical. Well, language is not logical.
Right.
You know? It gets borrowed from so many different sources.
You're going to love this. When I was in New York for about a week, just got back a couple of days ago, and I just stumbled into this. It was like a really makeshift. It was like a coffee lounge, but they had like these old books that they were reselling. And you always find gems that way, right?
Right.
Came across a book called The Philosophy of Language. And it's a compilation of essays, Noam Chomsky's one of them and everything. And they talk about, like, all these different essays talk about language and how just, like, changing a word in the orientation of a sentence can completely change the context of what you're trying to say. You know, like, and we're on text and stuff and talking to people. That's even worse because you could be trying to say something to somebody, but their understanding of knowledge, their knowledge of language can totally change.
Because most people don't put commas and things like that in text, you know? And, yeah, that happens to me all the time where I don't understand what they're saying, you know? But sometimes people write that in emails or in posts and, you know, on Facebook and stuff, which makes me nuts. I mean, Twitter, okay, Twitter doesn't have any grammar. You know, Twitter, you just put...
You have 140 characters. You make it work.
Right, exactly.
And then you have the hashtags.
And hashtags. And ad tags and all this stuff, you know?
I get screwed up at hashtags when you have to have, like, two letters, like, two, like, at the end of the letter. The end of the word starts with a letter. I mean, it has a letter, and then the next word. I'm like, wait, then people won't know what that
hashtag. You have to use, like, capital letters or something for each word.
I know. So, there's a lot of, like, etiquette and stuff to that. But at the same time, I know what you're saying. And we often talk about language here and stuff because it's I think a language is there so people can understand each other. If you don't use the rules of the language, people are not going to understand you. And that's what happens, you know. And
I love rules.
Understand that. I know you love rules.
What? Are you crazy?
I love them so much.
Are you crazy?
But I think only up to a point. You would never...
Yeah.
Would you be able to take rules in the military or something?
Oh, yeah. I can take authority.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I have no issues with that.
She's like, don't worry. I could take authority.
But because I like rules for the sake of, like, it's a general understanding. Everyone's on the same page. You at least start on the same page.
Right.
Then if you go off the page, that's your problem. Actually, you've made it difficult.
Actually, you're so right because, you know, I've worked for many years as an instructor and a teacher and, you know, facilitating workshops and everything. There is a understanding of rules, even like in cinema and like writing and all kinds of different things, creative enterprise. You have to follow the rules. But really where innovation comes from is when you take the rules and then you adapt from them.
Right.
Like you get creative around the rules.
Yeah.
That's called creativity.
Right.
Like, you know, like abstract painting, there's like a style to it, but then you can add your flair.
Right, exactly.
Let's call it flair, okay?
Yeah.
You can add flair to things. You can't just butcher it.
We can add sprinkles, you know?
Right.
Exactly. And then there's poetry, you know, that sometimes the structures are totally off and stuff. But that's creativity, yeah.
Right.
You know,
people probably thought Shakespeare was crazy, you know?
Yeah, you know?
Back at that time.
Or like E.E. Cummings does like all lowercase letters and things like that. And it's like, well, that's... his jam, but he still makes sense.
Yeah.
Dr. Seuss?
Right.
What the heck was he talking about?
I don't know.
What was he smoking?
All the things. True, the things. Also, this brings me back to dating, as it always does. There are rules, guys. Open the doors. Do the things. Like, it's like that. Yeah, you know, traditions. Yeah. That's why traditions are so lovely.
That's true. Yeah. Well,
etiquette.
Some rules are fine, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't take rules like orders in the military or something. I would go crazy.
Yeah.
But thank goodness there are people like you because that's how you build organizations. That's how you build big teams, you know, is by going by the rules. So, but in many ways, I'm like that too. You know, I'm like, this is the way it should be done, you know?
Yeah.
This is the way you should do it.
Yeah.
And don't go around it.
I'm glad you brought up the whole men opening the doors thing, right? Because I've been on like an initiative the past few years to be like, and there's a really good book that I like live by. I try to live by. And sometimes I have to come back to it because you'll get away from it. But it's called The Way of the Superior Man. Mm-hmm. And I'll totally share that with you. You got to check that out. It's really good. But it's all about being that man. It's all about understanding that a man has to play the role of a hero, has to play the role of a king, and has to also be okay with being a child once in a while. But not one more than the other one, you know? But to be those things.
That's a balancing act.
Yeah, so there's got to be balance there, I guess.
And I'm okay with all those things. I mean, nowadays, actually, I read in the news yesterday, I was going to bring this up, at, I think, Target, they're doing away with, like, gender role toys. So, like, there are no longer going to be girls' toys and boys' toys. They're going to be toys.
Wow.
So, if let's say there's a building set. It's not going to be for boys age 3 and up. It's going to be for kids age 3 and up. Because girls can learn how to be builders, too. Like,
that's true, yeah.
The girl is no longer just the girl in the kitchen, and the guy is the one building buildings. You can swap. roles and stuff. So it, I think that's really interesting. But to that effect, like, there are so many people that are out there that say, like, men don't have to be the only ones doing these things anymore. Women can split the bill, or they can cover the check, or whatever it is. But I do think there's something to the effect of romance and tradition, and I don't know.
Being a hero.
Yeah, that's so cool.
That's the thing.
I mean, I can be a hero too, but I'm going to be a different kind of hero.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean, let the man play his role, like you said. You know. Yeah.
And we'll all be happier because of that.
Probably. Who knows?
At least we'll be turned on better. You know? Like, I'll be the child one day, you know? Like, mom. You know?
So tell us a little bit about what it is that you do, Indy.
Well, it's, you know, I like the segue. You know, you brought in meditation, but it's kind of funny that you brought in ghost and you brought in death. And, a lot of what you guys are talking about while I was waiting was about what I do. And then we're laughing, too.
Wow.
So one of my biggest missions is to bring the philosophy of the East, you know, whether it's mainly Indian philosophy, ancient Indian philosophy, but also the Chinese philosophy and the Eastern traditions, you know, Lao Tzu and Confucius and all that, but blend it and integrate it with the science and technology of the West. There's no reason they should be separate, you know, and our separation of them is what has caused so much strife in the world. In fact, it's causing strife in India, because in India, they feel like they need to be American, and they're like forgetting all that philosophy when that's where it came from.
Right. And then Americans crave that.
And we're all about it over here. I'm like, I can't get enough.
Like, you go there for yoga and they're like, what are you talking about? Yoga? Nobody does yoga. And that's like, right. From India, right?
Like, my dream is to, like, eat, pray, love and, like, end up in, like, you know, like I want to be that girl.
No, you can do eat, pray, love and Joshua Tree, and I'll be
exactly.
but so my mission is kind of like bring this, and that's my personal purpose, is to integrate laughter into the process. I feel like it's so crazy. It's so sad when we try to do serious things, like talk about death and talk about ghosts. And I do past life hypnosis on people, and I work on hypnotherapy with.
I would like to do that, because I was told I was a man for many years, and I need to, like, get into my feminine energy. I was told by two different people that I was a man, and that I spoke for the people, and I, like, ran the communities. Is anybody surprised that I ran the communities?
We got to talk about
that. Right.
Yeah. But I don't know, but I'm questioning that you were told by somebody.
Two people.
Yeah. Okay, but you could have been told
by a healer,
Ken,
and a psychic.
Okay.
I'm kind of iffy on that too, Sam. Uh-huh. The way I learned past life hypnosis, you don't tell anybody anything. True hypnosis, like, really? Is an individual process. If I'm telling you something of what you are, that's, I'm projecting.
Well, I never
my
had hypnosis.
Yeah, so that's like your own internal.
My healer told me that, and a psychic told me that.
Right. I mean, would you like the idea that you were a man if it's true?
I mean, I just want information. Okay. I don't care. I don't have a feeling about it either way. It's more just that I think it's so cool to know.
Yeah.
So what is your guys' take on that? What do you think about past lives? Do you think they exist?
Well,
I do. But I'd like to select my next life if possible. Call me. Like,
no, but
submit
you
an entry.
Yeah.
But you do. I think you do. That's the thing, is that when you get into spirituality and things like that, they tell you that the soul chooses the type of path it's going to take in order to learn the lessons it's supposed to learn.
Yeah.
Am I close? That's the Kabbalah way of looking at things anyway.
And, you know, Sam, but honestly, I'd like to say I know anything with certainty, but right. I don't know. Can I?
No, well, none of us do.
Yeah. Here? Yes. Yeah.
I don't know fucking anything. Like, okay. The more I get to know stuff, the more I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, right. I don't know shit, you know? Like,
right. No, absolutely. I know what you're saying, but we don't know, but we have assumptions. We have, like, opinions. We have ideas. Yeah. What about yourself?
Well, it's because, so I'm coming from first I did it myself, and I did past life hypnosis myself. An ex-girlfriend introduced it to me. I got it done. It was powerful experience. I mean, it was like, I cried the most I ever cried when I was doing my past. I went to ancient Egypt, and it was like a really powerful experience. I like killed my niece in this life, who's 12 years old now, but I killed her in that life, and I was like infatuated with her, and she didn't want me, and I was a powerful man. I killed, got her head cut off, and it was a really powerful experience.
Yeah.
But then, like, that's great. And then I've been working on other, and now I've been actually doing therapy on others and seeing the benefits of that. Their physical pains go away, their mental anguish goes away, they, you know, lost ones, they are able to let go. But then I'm like, at the same time, there's this scientist in me that's like, there's 90% of our mind is subconscious that we don't even see or participate in. That 90% is connected to everything around us. There's like these subtle things all the time happening. It's like when somebody's looking at you, you can turn around, you'll be like, they're looking at you.
Right, you feel it.
So like, do we actually have past life, or is there like a tree and we're all just connected on this, like a soup, and like you could tap into anywhere in that soup. I could tap into you, Jennifer, when you're, you know, you're seeing your ghost in your bathroom, and I could be meditating and think about you and be next to you.
Yeah.
So why not?
Well, that's like, okay, I will give an example of what I think that is in like modern day times, like if you're not necessarily aware that it could be whatever. But so I was thinking about my uncle this morning because he donated more money to our Kickstarter campaign. And at that moment, he texted me in that same exact moment. And I looked down, and I go, and I was like, freak, cool. I love it.
And that's science. You can experiment with
it. I love it.
You can experiment with that. And you could see like it works. And it's like, okay, if scientifically it works, what's going on? Then you can really start to make your hypotheses.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, it makes sense. There's like so many different theories. And I think that's what's beautiful about it, because spirituality, it has a lot of common things around the world. You know, you look at cultures and they all basically have the same spiritual beliefs. You know, it's just that it's different flavors of the geography and culture and so forth.
Yeah.
But I think it's certainly something that unites people. You know, I mean, even religion is meant to be a spiritual experience. The fact that it's become abused and things like that, you know, and used for terrible reasons sometimes, does not change the fact that spirituality lives in every culture.
It does. In fact, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, one of my greatest teachers in hypnosis, the one who actually introduced it to me initially, she actually travels to the Middle East, and she's just like white. She looks like a white witch, you know? Like, she's so sweet. She has all these like crystals everywhere, but she's like this old white woman in her like 60s, almost 70s now. And she travels in the Middle East, white woman, like totally white. And she goes and she works with the, what do they call it? Like, you know, like the little villages, like they have like the alcoves and like people live in the mountains and stuff.
Right.
She goes to those places, and those are where the Taliban and stuff recruit people, right? But she goes to those places and she does past life hypnosis on those people.
Really?
They find out that they were like other things. They were Jews and they were Christians. Other lives.
That blow their mind because they're like, uh-oh, I am the person I hate, well, or whatever.
Because the religions teach you to like, you're just this, you are just this, when it's like, whoa, what if we were everything?
Right, which is why they say labels are terrible. Right. And you're not the label that you say. Anyway.
Yeah.
I would like to ask a question, though, about the past life. Like, so if you do that for somebody and you bring up all this stuff for them, do you then teach them how to apply whatever they're learning to their current life? And like, because what if you find out something like you really hate about yourself and you're like, ah, I was a dragon and I killed all the villages. Like, you killed your niece. Like, what do you do with that? Are you like, oh, my God, I must be a really terrible person. I killed my niece. And I love you extra today. Like, what do you do?
Well, OK, so I'm going to twist that answer for you really quick. You know, it'll kind of give a little bit of a idea of where I come from to my background. Okay. I started in medical school. I went to medical school. I'm like the, you know, the good Indian boy with like a 4.0 GPA and big old glasses and all that stuff. And so, you know, I went that route and I got sick myself in med school. And I got really like really sick with my digestive system. And I did everything the doctors told me to do. I was studying it, right? Nothing worked. My mom's like, go try an Ayurvedic doctor. You know what Ayurveda is?
Yes. Right.
Indian medicine. And I go to that. 1 month later, no drugs, no like invasive therapy. I'm like totally healthy.
Who's your doctor? Wow. Tell everyone.
Well, don't worry, I do it now. So,
all right, that's right.
It's easier.
Well, I switched paths. Like after that, it was like I got into meditation. It really helped me like conquer a lot of addictive behavior. And then the more I got into meditation, Ayurveda came into the picture. Studied Ayurveda, and then now this hypnosis came around. And so the whole journey has led me to realize that what's been lost. If I can remember, is you. Euclides, I can't even say his name, ancient philosopher, Greek, Euclides.
I know how it's spelled. I know what you're talking about. Right.
He wrote very famously a very famous essay, totally lost.
Euclid. Oh, all right.
Why am I saying Euclid? He wrote that all physicians should be philosophers as well. right? That's how they'll be good physicians. And it makes sense, not just philosophers, but artists.
See, that goes back to what we were saying about rules and then adding your extra creativity. Because if all things are equal, but this one disease is this, you have to think outside the box and figure out what to do.
And you're like the portrait. So if you came in, you like did this terrible thing in a past life, as not just a physician or a healer or a therapist, if I approached you like you're an art piece that I want to like make a, I want to like turn it beautiful, I'm going to work hard to carve it so that you're not left looking totally ugly and not having harmony. Like, I want to leave you with harmony.
Right. Yeah. Makes a lot of sense. So, you're of Indian background. You were born here though, right?
I was born in Toronto.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you're Canadian.
I'm both. Canadian and American.
When did you come to America?
When I was very young.
Really? Like with a family?
Yeah, with a family. Yeah.
Very
with
cool.
With San Francisco.
And San Francisco is where you moved to? Yeah. Wow, from Toronto, San Francisco. Those are cool cities.
Yeah, we drove.
Both of them. Really?
In one of those Lincoln, 1969 Lincoln.
Oh, my God.
Caprice, you know? You know what I'm talking about? It's like an airplane.
Yeah, Chevrolet.
Station wagon?
No, it wasn't a station wagon, but we had everything on top. And all our junk.
The Chevrolet Caprice, those were like boats, man. Those were like huge.
Chevy Caprice. Yeah, you're right. Sorry, not Lincoln. You're right.
Yeah. No, it's Chevy. Chevy, definitely. I remember those in the 70s and stuff. Yeah.
They're awesome. I have like pictures of me like with like my dad had me like stand on thing like with the sunglasses. And I'm like standing on like a little kid, like 4 years old.
Now, are your parents first generation here or second?
Yeah.
So, were they born in India or their parents?
They were actually super humble. My dad his whole life was a carpenter. Mm-hmm. Didn't really need to learn much English to be a carpenter. You just need to be able to build doors and drawers and all that stuff. And my mom, she was in a small village, like a farming village in India. So she never even got out of eighth grade. They pulled her out of eighth grade and then she had to work on the farm.
Yeah.
So when she came to America, my mom was pretty awesome though. She came to America and she went back to school. She worked as a seamstress for a while, right?
Yeah.
Went back to school, got a business degree. Wow. She speaks better English than my dad. Like, she's on our iPhone, so my dad, like, doesn't even know how to do that stuff. My mom, like, took it to another level. Like, she took the...
That's awesome. Yeah. See, that's an interesting, like, role reversal there. Like, she went to school and all that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. But she took charge of her life, you know? Yeah. I mean, she decided, I'm going to do something.
It's an opportunity, right? Yeah. And this is why, like, a big part of my life and coming to LA, you know, working with this nonprofit that I work with, it's all about giving people, you know, public policy is so flawed, right? Because it's forgotten that poverty is not endemic. It's not a disease. It's people are stricken with poverty. They're stricken with situations where they don't have opportunity. If you give them the opportunity, they can do amazing things.
Yeah.
But there's so many people who are not even having the chance, the opportunity.
Right. Very cool. So then from San Francisco, you moved to where? To here or to New York?
Well, then I moved to New York.
You moved to New York City. But then you moved on your own, not with your parents, right?
That was my own.
That was more recent.
That was through meditation.
Really?
That you moved?
I used to go and meditate with my mom like 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. every night.
Why at that time?
When I left med school. Huh?
Why at that time?
Everything's asleep. Like, you don't have any distractions. Your phone, nothing. I mean, we don't take your phone, right? But it's like complete quietness, even in your mind. But like, also you have to understand there's alpha, beta, theta, delta waves in the air, right? So like right now we're all conscious and we're all aware. We're like using alpha waves. Very little beta waves, very little theta waves, right? But when we're really deep sleep, then our theta waves come in. And that's why we like have REM sleep. Mm. When you put somebody in hypnosis, you want to drop them into the theta waves, right? You want to like bring them to that place. So during that time, you can really get deep, but consciously deep. So when you get consciously deep, all of a sudden time is not, let's just put it this way, we're not restricted by time anymore.
Mm. During those hours, time is
a construct of our physical dimension. So remember, right? Time space continuum, right? You guys remember that, right? Like with Back to the Future and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Oh my God, 60 gigawatts. But like like when we get to really deep meditation, you could see into the future, or you could look into the past, or you could look really deep into the present. And when you look into the future, you almost can take a step into the future, and then you could. Then when you come back here, you could take the steps towards that future.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. And then it's back to the future.
Literally.
Right? There you go.
Literally. So what kind of meditation do you do?
I teach a couple of forms of Vedic meditation.
What is that?
Like, so the Ayurvedas.
Yes.
Ayurveda comes from a compilation of books that are written by rishis. But my name just happens to be Rishi. Uh-huh. Like, to live up to that. But rishis were ancient scientists in India who, like, researched herbs and yoga. And, you know, they wrote all these books about all kinds of... They were scientists, you know. They did experiments. They wrote books. And some of the meditations that they came up with were ways that we can actually, like, tune our body through sound, through primordial sounds. So the way I teach meditation, especially with, like, young people, is to get them to tune their body, like, not externally, but internally tune their body. So that whenever they feel like they're ADD or they can't concentrate or they can't focus, tune the body to the point where you're, like, you're good.
Right.
Then there's, like, other meditations that I teach that help people with, like, forgiveness and, like, not stressing out about stuff all the time, and food, you know, meditation, because food is a big meditation, right? People eat to hurt themselves, right? In a lot of ways. So. Or drink to hurt themselves.
Yeah. But often eating is a social thing, you know? I mean, people just sit around the table because... Yeah, they get together, you know. And I've said it before, like, if you watch a show like The Sopranos, almost every scene is around the table eating.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, so it's a whole thing, you know.
But then there are the people that emotionally eat.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ice cream.
Right.
I've been there, my God. Or eat, like, a whole thing of ice cream.
Right.
And then you hate yourself, and it's a whole thing.
Right. Yeah. No, I know. I mean, I know people with eating disorders. It's not fun at all. Mm. No. Mm. So tell us what it is that you do. You mentioned this organization that you work with.
This is great. So this is great. This is LA Talk Radio. I could talk to you guys about that. And you guys got to come to this. Call Us Up Peace Corps is a nonprofit. It started a few years ago. I started with them when I moved to LA. They run a program. We run a program called Share a Meal. You can look it up, shareameal.net. And the whole point behind it is that we feed the homeless using a food truck. And the food truck is basically what we reintegrated back into. The idea is to make a community kitchen that's mobile. Mm-hmm. And so we have volunteers come onto the truck. We make vegan burritos. We put herbs, like, you know, Indian, like, turmeric and certain herbs that are really healthy for people. They build the immune system and all that stuff. We put, like, onions and cilantro. It's really healthy stuff. People roll them. We throw them in the oven in the food truck. We wait a little bit. We do, like, a couple of exercises as a group. And then we all put these into bags, get water, walk around the neighborhood, and feed it. We do Venice every Thursday night.
Really?
Venice, the beach, wow. Right? And then we do Skid Row on Monday nights. We did it last night. We do Friday nights in downtown LA, New High Street. And that's every week. So people can come. It's always on the evenings from, like, 7 to 9. It's so fun. You meet cool people who are, like, want to give. Like, you know, especially for dating. Like, that's, like, I wish more people did that to meet people.
That would be a great place. I keep saying I want to meet somebody in yoga, but I'm like, well, how would I talk to them? That would just not work out. So I can, like, look at them in downward dog, and then we make eye contact, and it's love. But that's just probably not going to happen. So I would maybe do this. That would be great. I mean, you could partner with, like, dating people, like, matchmaking services and things like that. I could introduce you to, like, some of the ones I know.
Yeah.
And that would be great, because you do want to find people with similar interests, also good people that are doing
exactly.
good things.
I mean, this says a lot about a person. Look, you take out of your own time and your own effort and everything, and you do this, and you don't expect anything.
And it's, like, beautiful, because you're actually interacting. It's not like you're paying $5 to something. Like, you actually go physically, and you hand it to the people. And Skid Row, it's amazing, because so many people come, right, who've lived in LA for 20, 30 years, and they're like, we've never walked the Skid Row streets before. Like, we never knew that this existed. We had a couple of guys, they were just walking down the street, and they were like, we were like, had our circle, and we were like, you know, we do fun games and stuff before we start doing the walk. And, like, they joined us. We're like, oh, come join us. They turned out to work for the city hall. And they're like, we've never done this. And they make the decisions in the city hall. And they're like, oh my God, we should bring the mayor here and stuff. Like,
hello.
You know, but, like, hello, right? Like, there's people making decisions in our community that don't even know that kind of poverty exists.
Yeah.
And how we're interacting. And the cool thing is, you're protected because you're giving, right? They're not going to harm you.
I was going to ask you what the safety is with that, because as a girl, clearly. Well, I'm also very short, and like,
but
I mean,
they
I
won't
think.
Send you there alone. I'm sure.
Strength in numbers, right? So we go in a group, right? Yeah. So you have strength in numbers,
okay?
And it's we want to build it. The bigger we get, the more we can help, right? So that's the whole idea. The bigger our group is, then we can walk into any dangerous area. Right. They're not dangerous because we're helping them.
Have you heard of the group hashtag Lunchbag?
I have heard about.
Yeah.
That. Yeah.
So
very similar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They make up for those that don't know it. They like gather together and on like the last Sunday of the month, a big group in a location, and they make bagged lunches, and then they go distribute them downtown.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very noble. You know, I mean, I like that. I like that people do that. They can think way beyond themselves. And I get what you're saying about it helps you. It makes you feel good because it's just like, you know, when there's when you give someone a couple bucks, you know, they're sitting on the street, a homeless guy, whatever, you give them a buck or two, you feel good.
Giving makes you feel the best.
But you still don't know, is it going to the right place? I actually have stopped giving money to homeless people because I don't want to encourage that.
Right.
You know, if anything, I'll speak to them. Like, give them my time, right, and my mind.
Which is more than most people will give them.
Right, or give them something healthy. Like, how hard is it to, like, you take those $2, go to get an apple, a banana, and an orange, which will help them far more than those $2 that they might use on a 40.
Right.
You know, like, that's not going to help them, right?
Yeah.
So just the subtle things can make a difference.
Yeah. So how can people help if they want to get involved in that?
So, the best is Facebook. You can see so many cool, like, you know, Facebook. If you look up Share a Meal on Facebook, like us, share what we're doing, come join, take pictures,
I want to come.
Instagram that shit. but more importantly, just participate. It's so much fun. We also, you know, I'll throw this out there too. We just opened up a retreat center in Lake Arrowhead. We have 3 houses, 35 acres, meditation gardens. What we want to do is we're going to start doing volunteer training there because we're certified with FEMA. So if there's because they've seen what we're doing,
right.
And if there's a natural disaster, they're going to call us first because we already have the setup.
I'm signing up for everything you're talking about.
Like, we have a food truck. Like, we have a food truck that feeds. You know, like, that's what people need, right? But this retreat center is off the hook. We have a pool, a jacuzzi, we have a meditation room, we have a yoga place, we have dormitories. We also want to turn this place. Also, we want to open it up to people. So if people want to do retreats, if people want to do yoga retreats, I want to help set up cancer retreats for people who have cancer. For them to come with their family to come there, learn, do meditation, wake up in the morning, do yoga, learn healthy cooking. We have like a, you know, industrial kitchen. I mean, not heal. We're not going to heal cancer. But what we're going to do is we're going to give people an option to live healthier when they have cancer. So maybe they can get that naturally.
Very cool. So if they go to sharemeal.net, did you say?
That's the website.
Right.
Yep.
So people can find out more about
find
it,
out
how
more
to get
about
involved.
It. They can find out all the information, where it started, all that jazz.
Great. Now let's get on to your stuff a little bit. Do you have a website too?
I do.
Okay. What's the website?
iLiving, like iPhone.
Right.
iLiving.guru.
Guru.
Which is such a crazy thing that's now like a dot whatever. It's
an
extension.
I saw that, I was like, what? That's cool.
That's perfect.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then you can get a domain that you want.
Wouldn't make sense for like someone like me, like JenniferGolden.guru, like check out my acting and my hosting reel. But like for what you do, that's perfect.
Yeah. Well, maybe they'll do a dot funny girl.
That would be amazing. And thank you for that. I wouldn't have even thought of that. I would have been like short person.
You gotta just make a fake one, you know.
Yeah.
Sweet. You know.
Awesome.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about the website. You obviously provide meditation, hypnotherapy, things like that. I see you have personalized meditation lessons and stuff. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about that and what it is that you do for people.
Oh, okay. How about I give you guys a meditation right now?
Love it.
Right?
On the air?
Cool? Right now. But, I mean, not like a crazy meditation.
Right.
Something simple just to give you an idea of what I do.
Right. But would it be like boring to the listeners though?
No. Because they might learn from it.
They'll do it with us.
And it's not even that complicated. This one's a really easy one. People might even know it. The listeners might even know about it. It's called Ho'oponopono. Am I saying that right? Ho'oponopono. You guys have heard that?
No.
Ho'oponopono is a ancient Polynesian saying, right? It came from this islands. It was a meditation that basically translates. If we translate it in English, and obviously let me just reiterate this. English is one of the worst languages in the world. you know, like, we have to use it, but it's not very good, right? Like, you try to say, you can, like, say some the simplest thing, but it takes you, like, fucking paragraph to, like, explain to somebody what you're trying to say. But Ho'oponopono means I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you.
Mm. All together?
All together. So let's try that.
That's everything.
So let's try that. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
Let's try one more time. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
Those four things.
Ho'oponopono.
If you just keep saying that, if you say that, you know, you're on the freeway and somebody, like, honks at you, right? And you say that to some, you know, say that to them, you will feel better. It's not about them, right?
Because you're releasing it.
You're releasing it. If somebody, if you're, like, talking to, you know, a spouse or a boyfriend or a girlfriend or somebody, and they're, like, they're bothering you and they're, like, irritating you, just, you don't have to reply. Just in your own mind, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. You're good. You can say it to yourself. Maybe you fuck up. Maybe we always fuck up. All of us fuck up somewhere. You can say to yourself, you know, like, Jennifer, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you.
Yeah. And I mean, and this actually diffuses any fight or any situation or any argument. Yeah.
I'm probably going to tattoo that on me somewhere. I have no tattoo and I've been looking for something. So I'm like, that makes sense now. Sweet. Yeah.
Because, I mean, if think about it. Whoever you say it to, they can't be mad at you.
Yeah.
Well, but also, I think it's more like you're saying it to you yourself. At them.
But yeah, they will too. It'll dissipate because it's like almost at the same time, like, they're stupid. Like, if they try to fight you and you're saying that to them, they're getting everything they need, right? Everybody just wants they want to know that you're sorry. They want to know that you want forgiveness. They want to know that you're gratitude, you're thankful. And they want to know that they were loved.
Yeah.
That's
and
it.
You too.
It's so easy. Yeah. Bottle that up and spread it across the world.
So on that note, so my method of teaching meditation is very different than everyone else. I'm trying to take a hold of the world by the heart.
Not I like the that. Throat, I was going to say.
By the heart. But I want to, like, grab it by the heart. And I want to do what Deepak Chopra and all these people have not been able to do, is talk and speak very intimately with the young generation, the teens, the 20s and the 30s, and talk to them in a way that is pop culture. Like, I love pop culture, and I love I can't even tell you how diverse I am in my interests. And I love sports, and I love all that stuff. But at the same time, I understand we need to reintroduce spirituality in a scientific, logical way, because people are way too smart for us to be like, okay, now there's quantum physics and then you're going to take a moment, breathe. Like, no, we need energy and we need enthusiasm. We need Robin Williams meets Deepak Chopra meets, you know, like all these guys. We need that kind of energy coming into
it. Needs to be more relatable too.
Right.
Right. And that's actually what the modern Kabbalah studies are. And that's what drew me into it. It's because they talk a lot about science and things like that, you know, and that's why it's caught on so much. And but what I learned is that it's actually just another form of the same teachings that other religions have.
It's just we're always regurgitating everything. Nothing is an original.
Exactly.
You know? I actually want to talk to you about that. Like, one of the things I noticed in LA, it's very big, and I would love to learn more about Kabbalah and integrate. I love integration.
Like, yeah, learning. Just look for the Kabbalah Center. It's on Robertson in Beverly Hills.
I think there's, like, Tuesday nights or free lecture or something like that.
Cool.
Probably.
I'll go with you. I want to go too.
Oh, let's go. Yeah.
You should. It'll grab you. It'll grab you. I actually studied it when I was in Israel for a year, like about 10 years ago or so. No, 20 years
ago. Where will it grab you?
It'll grab you by the balls.
Ooh, oh, boy.
Actually, no. Ooh. No. But it's spirituality that, like, makes sense. It's suddenly you start to look at things in a whole different way, you know. And just like you said, you know, I mean, and that's what spirituality is. I know that for me it worked at a bad time in my life when I was really at bottom. It really helped me pull through when I was learning this stuff. But essentially, it's just spirituality. It's just that I could relate to it more because it was my religion and everything. But I think if people want to really make some kind of transformation in their life, they need to be a little spiritual, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because we tend to be, you know, physical, emotional, mental. But the spiritual part, a lot of people just...
Yeah,
leave it alone. You know, they don't do anything.
And you know, like, I'm not a stickler on this stuff. You know, I've experimented in my life, and you know, I find that it's we put too much reliance on chemicals. you know. I'm not just the pharmaceutical ones, but then there's like, you know, there's mushrooms, and you know, now DMT is a big thing. And
what's
like,
that?
Oh, I'll get into that in a second. But there's all these things out there that people are trying to, they're trying to use them as ways to get to a place of spirituality.
Which we can do on our own.
Which we can do on our own. And we can actually have a fun, like I was just telling you that, I'm sorry, please forgive me. But then I was also telling you how when you meditate deeply, you could see into the future. Now, imagine teaching that to a teenager who thinks that, oh my God, I got to like go and drink and I got to smoke pot and I got to do all this. So all of a sudden they realize that they can see into the future. That's going to change their whole life. That's going to change their whole way, the perception of their purpose. And most young people are so fucked up. They get so fucked up because they don't have any connection to purpose.
Yeah,
it's like so it's getting true. Further and further away from them. Right.
Right.
And then they resort to drugs to fill that void. Right. Right. They resort to their friends being all crazy and wild as some sort of purpose, but it's not real purpose, right? So meditation, all these things are important to bring that in spirituality.
Right, so spirituality makes you find meaning and purpose and so forth.
Exactly.
Great. Now, listen, a couple more minutes. How can people find out more about you? How can they take your classes? How can they
I do workshops all the time. This past weekend, I did a laughter meditation. I do laughter meditations. They're a lot of fun. They're like 1 hour. It's like you learn
Sounds
laughter.
Like fun.
Yeah, it's so much fun. You guys got to come to one of them. They're like crazy.
Okay. Where do you hold them?
Last weekend, sometimes I join with groups. Last weekend, there was 100 people on the beach in Long Beach doing it. We were like in a circle. It was crazy. I do private ones too, people's homes. People invite me into their homes, and I do private ones. They invite their friends over, like 10 people, so people can reach out to me on the website. I can host one at their home, and it's just great. Like, laughter is a wonderful thing to do, and to learn meditation through that process, how you can incorporate that scientifically, you know, physiologically, but also to learn how it can just be incorporated in simple situations. That's what we teach. And then I can do it in corporate environments. So people can reach out if they want me to do it in their business. It'll amp the productivity, the efficiency levels will go up. People will be more,
no doubt.
If you laugh, you might have a problem with somebody, right, in your workplace. But if you laugh it out, it's gone.
Right.
And that laughter will, and stress levels drop.
Because that's just also like another way of releasing it, right? Because you're changing, what is it, endorphins or something?
You're dropping the cortisol, raising the oxytocin.
That would be it. Endorphins and all that stuff. I knew it was scientific. Oxytocin.
It's all about the endocrine system. Yeah.
Right.
I do all that stuff. And I also do private, I do private sessions with people if they want to meet. I love that. I think it's so important, like we were saying, being an artist, a good therapist, a good healer, not to say I'm always working to be better as a healer and as a helper, right, and as a guide, and whatever I can do to share to help people grow in their own individuality is wonderful. They could reach out individually or with groups, or if you're on my website, there's a calendar, and I'm always posting up whatever events are coming up. Culver City, Santa Monica, Venice, I'm doing events. I want to do more in Hollywood. So
very cool. So give your website again.
iLiving.guru.
Why are you saying guru?
It is.
It is guru and not guru?
He's saying it properly.
Guru.
Yeah.
Guru is
because you're saying it like an Indian, right?
Yeah. Guru.
There you go.
What's the Western way?
Guru.
Guru.
Right.
Guru.
Because we say it like
guru.
Ugly.
Do you know what guru means?
What does it mean?
Guru is made up of two sounds, gu and ru. Gu is like, gu is heaviness, like a very deep heaviness, right? And ru is light, like the light, like the spectrum, like the electromagnetic spectrum is ru. So guru means like the heaviness of light.
Oh, wow.
And then how did that become the name for like a person that knows things? Because you have the heaviness of light? Like,
yeah, like you're a physical being, right? Like you have to be heavy to be in this existence, to be a physical being. But then you have the light within you shining out of you.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, Indy Rishi Singh, thank you so much for joining us, man.
Likewise.
You're a lot of fun. You guys can go to his website, go to the seminars. Also, the Share a Meal. You can get involved in that as well. And that'll be awesome. You're an awesome guest. Thank you so much
Thank
for
joining
guys.
Us. Thank you. Good luck. I'm sorry. Yeah. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you.
Very cool.
Hopanopano.
Yeah. And forgive us for not having time to let you play your flute, but maybe you can come back. There's definitely a lot more we can talk about.
Oh, totally. Oh, my gosh.
Thank you for making yourself available.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. Jen, thank you.
Thank you, Sam.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.